So the question is, how does one create, build, and protect and multiply your wealth in a global interconnected economy where change is happening rapidly and constantly, and financial markets are rigged to benefit financial institutions and enrich corporate insiders? I've made it my mission to uncover how you can create, protect, and multiply your wealth in any economy, and have interviewed the top investors and wealth experts for over 3 years. I share what I've learned from them and continue to learn on my journey. I'm MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Investing Secrets. Hello, everyone. MC Lobsher, and thank you so much for joining me in another episode of the Cashflow Investing Secrets podcast. In this show, I want to talk about a social media post that I actually made. I made a social media post on August 15th, 2021, and I shared and I stated, if you have not figured out what we're in the process of globally the past 18 months, the next 6 months will shock you beyond belief. So a lot of people have asked, they said, MC, what are you talking about? Can you elaborate? Like, what are you seeing? And I'm going to use a framework and a model for this. I love frameworks and models. I love them. I've personally used them a lot. They've been very helpful for our community and program members. We have shared frameworks essentially that you can use to build your own system, structures, and processes when it comes to wealth creation. We've shared frameworks that you can use in identifying your environment and changes within your environment. You know, one of the frameworks we shared is the Reset framework, which has been so helpful to a lot of folks. I get a lot of compliments on those. We have frameworks that you can use daily and analyzing threats, opportunities, and identifying your own strengths to capitalize on the opportunities within the threats for yourself, your family, your business, and your investments. So I love frameworks and models. And there's essentially a framework that I came across, and this was created by a gentleman called Yuri Bezmenov, who was a Soviet defector that came, I believe, to Canada, but he ended up in the United States. He was interviewed by Mr. G. Edward Griffin, which I've had on the show twice. But he essentially shared this framework of ideological subversion, as he called it, of essentially taking a free and open society to a totalitarian society in 4 steps. And we've seen this globally. All of these steps are very much in place. This is a helpful framework to share what I meant by that, and a lot of the things that we're obviously seeing. I would highly recommend, by the way, you check out the interview with Yuri Bezmenov and Mr. G. Edward Griffin. It's on all social media platforms. If it's not on the, I would say, the standard mainstream social media platforms, it's definitely on Odyssey, Rumble, or BitChute. You'll be able to find it. There's hours of lectures, of interviews that he's done. Fascinating character. But he essentially explained the strategy of what the KGB did and implemented and executed in countries to essentially penetrate a free and open society and take it to a totalitarian society. And the 4 steps is essentially ideological subversion. The first one is demoralization, step one. Step two is destabilization. Step three is crisis. And then step four is normalization. So it sounds very, you know, 1984-ish, which essentially, if you look at what is included in those steps, yeah, it's pretty much as 1984, the book, of course, written by George Orwell, as can be. So what is included in demoralization? Well, demoralization could take several decades because essentially, you have to indoctrinate 1 to 2 generations and essentially take control over how they think and how they see themselves and how they see their culture, how they see their country, and how they see fellow citizens. So a great example of this was done in China during the Cultural Revolution under Mao. And essentially what Mao did through this Cultural Revolution is he attacked the 4 olds, he called it. And essentially he attacked old ideas, old customs, old culture, and old habits. He wanted to break the bond with the past for all of these young students, right? that he was educating. Because essentially, if you can break the bond that someone has with their own ethnicity, their own culture, their family, their parents, their grandparents, their history, their heroes. Every culture's got heroes, right? So if you can essentially make them feel ashamed of themselves and what they are, their parents, their grandparents, ashamed of their culture, their cultural practices and norms and standards and you know, their customs, their ideas, and of course, their cultural heroes, then of course, now they're ready to essentially be molded and shaped, especially their thoughts and how they think in however you would want them to. And we have, of course, seen that globally. We have seen that globally. We have seen the process of demoralization, because in every Western country, that's essentially happened. We could all think of examples. Think of, you know, I live in the United States. Think of what's been happening here probably the past two decades in schools. It only started to really come to the forefront in 2020 when children were educated virtually and parents started to realize what they were being taught. And what was going on in the schools. And that has been a huge area where, of course, parents have now gotten involved very much so, especially with school boards in the United States. So they've taken over the past two decades, essentially, the education and for two decades, or I would say even more, children have been indoctrinated and they have been demoralized. Once the phase of demoralization is complete, and like I said, this could take 1 to 2 generations to be completed, then it moves into the next stage, which is destabilization. And that involves destabilizing countries. And there's many different ways to do that, right? Of course, everybody's familiar with the age-old strategy of divide and conquer. And oh my word, folks, if we've been divided and conquered, whether it's men against women, whether it is on ethnicity and race, whether it's on religion, whether it is on sexual preferences, whether it is on mask versus no mask, pro-injections versus against injections, pro-mandated injections versus against any mandate of injections. I mean, we have been divided and conquered like we've never have before all over the world. In every single country, this has taken place. And this is part of the process of destabilizing a nation. Most of these groups have been funded by the powers that be. So you have, during the process of destabilization, you've got a lot of chaos being sowed. And of course, you know, a great example of what's going on currently of this process of destabilization, which I believe we're now almost wrapping up, is of course the mandates of injections across the world, essentially. Most countries, this is now a massive trend, right? Which is being pushed and pushed and pushed. These injection passports. So essentially, you know, in the United States at the time of recording, you know, these injections mandates has been pushed on besides the government and government contractors. It's now been rolled out, obviously, to private businesses, 100 employees and more. And of course, it's going to roll to the smaller businesses. And yeah, they're fighting in the courts as we speak. But this is, of course, created a lot of conflict, a lot of destabilization, and people have lost their employment and their livelihood because of it. A third, you know, almost 30 to 40% of people in all industries. So this is causing a lot of chaos, a lot of disruption, and a lot of confusion. And of course, over the past 2 years, we've seen the draconian things that have been done by governments, such as lockdowns and so forth, that has disrupted, I mean, the economies all over the world. So the disruptions have continued, and you would think that Things would start to, you know, open up a little bit. They would relieve the pressure just so that these disruptions that are there just because of the lockdowns could work its way through the economy. And these bottlenecks that exist can work its way through the economy. But no, now their mandates are being thrown on it. And this is done by design because it's creating more destabilization, which, just think of any industry, if 30 to 40% of people that are involved in healthcare are no longer there, what's that going to do? Huge chaos, huge disruption. What about law enforcement? What about other services such as, you know, the fire department? What about truckers? Just transporting things across the country. You know, we've seen, of course, bottlenecks in every single industry, and this is going to result into a lot of shortages of certain goods and services. So that's the destabilization process. You know, a lot of folks would look at this and think things will get better, but if you look at Yuri Bezmenov's framework, this is all being done to push towards a crisis. There's nothing being done to let up and fix this, because that's not the intention. The intention isn't to fix anything that is not working properly right now. So it's all to push into the next phase, which is the crisis, which I believe is where we're going. And that's why I shared that if you don't understand what's going on, then you're going to be shocked beyond belief, because there will be a crisis, whether it be a healthcare crisis, whether it be a law enforcement crisis, whether it be food crises, you know, goods and services. There's just not enough, because there's not enough truckers to drive around and obviously deliver things, right? So yeah, so this is all going to lead into a massive, massive economic crisis in all sectors, in all niches, and then eventually the crisis. What happens when a crisis? We've already shared that in previous episodes, where usually when there's a crisis, somebody comes in and offers them a solution to take you out of the crisis. So there's already a direction where folks want you to go to. They just have to create a crisis to eventually offer that new direction as a solution to get you out of the crisis. Then eventually you'll go into phase four, which is normalization, where you would live in a world where things exist that you would never, ever think it would be possible before the phases obviously worked itself through. So an example of that is you would never, ever, ever, ever in a thought you would be living in a world where there would be segregation again, right? It's something that we as human beings sort of has veered away from and is very much frowned upon in any place on the planet. But essentially now we're living that, where I would say maybe more than half of the populations, regardless of what country you're in, think segregation is okay. So anyway, that's what I mean by normalization. So this is now normal that we are now going to segregate folks based on medical decisions, right? We wouldn't do that based on race, but religion, sexual preferences, and more, but it's okay to do it on medical decisions. So those are the four steps of taking essentially a free and open society towards a totalitarian society. Step one is demoralization. Step two is destabilization. Step three is crisis. And then step four is normalization. It's a pretty good framework to look at and use when you're analyzing what is going on, what are some of the macro trends playing out. And that is essentially a great tool to help you position and prepare for anything and everything, to protect and take care of your family, your business, and your investments. I hope that is as helpful for you as it's been for me. It's a framework that we use within our community and within our programs that's helped a lot, in addition to the Reset framework that helps us navigate our new and constantly changing environment. You can check out all of our past shows at cashflowninja.com. And as always, until next time, Live infinitely.
If you are interested in learning more about cash flow investing, I have compiled the 21 best cash flow investing strategies I have come across studying millionaires and billionaires for two decades and interviewing over 500 successful investors and wealth experts. You can grab the 21 cash flow investing strategy secrets at 21cashflowinvestingsecrets.com. That's 21, the number, cashflowinvestingsecrets.com.